DeSanto Propane is four generations strong as a trustworthy, family-owned business with unmatched customer service. Go online at DeSantoPropane.com for more info or call toll-free at 1-800-752-4574 today. Since 1937, the difference has been DeSanto Propane.
Do you want to know what's happening in the Finger Lakes? We do too. We're going in depth with decision makers in the heart of upstate New York to get the answers you need. From the team of FingerLakes1.com, this is Inside the FLX.
All right, it's time for our monthly chat with Auburn Mayor Jimmy Giannettino. Mayor, thanks so much for taking the time this morning. It's been a couple months, but spring is progressing. I have to ask, how was the eclipse in Auburn?
Oh, it was great. We had tremendous visitation. The city hosted a eclipse watch party at Falcon Park. I think there's a couple thousand people that were down there. The Equal Rights Heritage Center saw a huge increase in people coming through to pick up glasses, and that actually translated to a higher visitation a couple days following the eclipse. We know the hotels were full. Yeah. Wegmans donated one of their massive cakes that they make down to the eclipse party. So it was a great event.
Awesome. Awesome stuff. Speaking of hotels, you mentioned hotel surging a bit during the eclipse in the day, the weekend before, and the couple days after. The county voted this week not to share hotel occupancy tax. That has been a bit of a headline over the last few days. Sure. Just wanted to get your perspective. I don't know if you were necessarily surprised by the outcome of the vote, but where do you stand on how that all went down?
Sure. So, you know, I've been very clear since the initial announcement that we were going to pass a resolution to submit to the county for their public hearing on the local law, which occurs every 3 years. That's required by New York state law on the county occupancy tax. This was really to start a conversation. We've seen, especially post-COVID, a surge in visitation and tourism in Cougar County as a whole. The numbers are clear if you look at the occupancy tax as a whole. You know, I've also been clear that the Cougar County Office of Tourism has done a fantastic job of marketing Cougar County and Auburn. That's part of the reason why this visitation has increased. But what I know from our local historical and cultural sites is that even though their visitation is better than it was pre-COVID, they're struggling financially. And part of that is, you know, the traditional methods of funding for these types of organizations was just the public. And oftentimes somebody might pass away and they might leave money to those organizations. And that trend has changed. And they're really just looking for some basic operating capital. And, you know, our opinion is that that could come from the occupancy tax. And while the county voted not to do that, I think it started a conversation that has been helpful. It's been healthy. It's been productive. And I think that there's room to collaborate from here going forward.
Do you feel like it is that dialogue is at least in a good spot now, where both parties can maybe at some point lobby to the state? Is this something where you think maybe the state needs to shell out a little more funding to help you guys out with?
You know, the state's been actually a pretty good partner in terms of tourism. The city was able to secure Market New York grants. I think it was for a period of, it was either 4 years or 5 years. Yeah. That's been part of that overall effort. But when it comes to the local tourism thing and the occupancy tax, you know, what I would like to see is a grant program through the Office of Tourism that, you know, takes a percentage of the occupancy tax that's collected. That way we protect the Office of Tourism's budget. Sure. Because obviously they need to pay their staff and they've got their initiatives as well. And a portion of that be shared with the historical and cultural sites, not only in Auburn, but throughout Cougar County.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the budget. Saw a proposed budget Sure. earlier this month. You guys, I'm sure, are in that process or knee deep in that process now. Talk to us about where that stands and what sort of stands out from it that you've seen so far.
So we had our last round of presentations last night from all our department heads. You know, one of the things I asked for at the beginning of the year after I was sworn in and we started preparing for the budget was to have each department head give a very detailed, in-depth presentation, not only of their budget, but what they do as a department and the services they provide the people of Auburn. And that was twofold. First, we had two brand new city councilors, and I thought that it would be helpful for them to get that overview from the department heads, even though they met with all the department heads when they first came on, but also for the public. And I say that because, you know, government is often under the microscope and how much it costs to do things, and rightfully so. I have no problem with that. But the more transparent we can be, the better. The more education we can provide to the public, the better. I said it last night that, you know, NYSEG, Verizon, any TV company, streaming service, they constantly raise their fees with no explanation as to why, right? Local government, if we have to raise taxes to pay for services, if we are transparent and show where every dime is being spent, I think that's an obligation we have to the public. So I think that the budget process this year went very well. You know, I made a point last night to thank all the department heads, because I know a lot of work went into it. I know that because we had 3-hour meetings, you know, every week the last month as they gave these presentations. But I think it was helpful. And I've actually received some pretty positive feedback from people out in the public who, you know, believe it or not, people watch these meetings. So I think overall it's been a really good process.
How do we feel right now about where the dollars and cents of the budget sit in terms of compared to last year or compared to the trend that we've seen over the last few years?
Yeah, so like, you know, like every other small city across New York State, we struggle with rising costs. You know, our Civil Service Commission gave their presentation last night in their budget. And, you know, there was a really important stat that they showed in there that, you know, they had administered, I think it was 23 exams this year with 170 applicants. They used to get 178 applicants for a police test or a fire test. I mean, that was for 23 tests. Yeah. So we're competing with the private sector, and we have to make sure we have staff to provide the services that people rely on. And there's a cost that goes along with that. So like every other municipality, we're having to deal with that. I think that our collective bargaining units, and we just finalized contracts with all of them recently, were very fair. You know, they expect to be compensated for the services that they provide, but also recognize that it comes to a cost for the people of the city. So I think that if you look at our budget and the presentation that was given, it's a responsible budget. We've shown where all the money is being spent. A large portion of that is salaries and benefits. Sure. To provide the services that people rely on. And there's really not much left to cut. Yeah. So, you know, I think we're in an okay place. I think that we have a great comptroller who, you know, this is our first budget cycle. She's identified some areas where we can improve. You know, she mentioned last night, she closed out 24 capital projects. Those are all projects, you know, bridges, parks. Those were all closed out, and that's important because then we can account for those dollars and cents and make sure we're moving things from short-term borrowing to long-term borrowing, which is usually better interest rates. So I think we're in a good place. I think we have to remain, you know, vigilant. You know, there was some good news from the state of New York. We got a bump in AIM funding, which is the first time in 15 years. And then that's really due to the efforts of local leaders across the state and really lobbying our state representatives. But there's a key word that came along with that bump, and it was temporary.
Yeah.
So, you know, the fight, and I don't like to use that word, but that's really what it is. The fight continues to get equitable funding from New York State. You know, I want to be positive. The good news is the governor and the legislature recognize that the state has a role in providing funding to local governments through revenue sharing. So I think I answered your question. You know, we're in a good place. I'm confident with our staff, but you know, this is a year-to-year process.
Yeah, I'm actually glad you brought up AIM funding, because you mentioned it a couple months ago, the last time we talked, about that very issue, the funding levels not keeping up over the last decade and a half. It is obviously, like you said, a as proposed or as signed into the budget, a short-term fix, it seems. What would, if you had a magic wand that you could wave, what would be the level to right size it for what you see? You're literally in a small city in upstate New York. What would you like to see to sort of level the playing field once and for all?
Sure. So I'm a firm believer in quantifying problems. And, you know, I think the first step the state of New York should take, whether it's through the comptroller's office or they hire a consultant, is the state should do what the comptroller in the city of Syracuse, Alex Marion, did when he took office at the beginning of the year, and do an in-depth analysis of each municipality across the state that receives AIM funding and what has occurred in those last 15 years. That way they can quantify how much money should go to local governments. Like I said, we've been shortchanged. I think it's been about $4 million over that time.
Yeah.
You know, if that funding had kept up with what had been proposed by Governor Pataki back when he started this, I think it was like a 2% to 7% increase annually, depending on how you handled your local property taxes, I think we'd all be in a very good place. And, you know, it's interesting. You hear about things like anti-poverty initiatives for the city of Syracuse, and the state's going to dedicate a pot of $50 million to that. If you take a step back and just look at it, what better way to fight poverty than to make sure local governments are funded properly so that they don't have to continue raising property taxes to pay for the basic services that all their citizens rely on? So I would be a big proponent of you know, an in-depth overview and analysis of where we are before they decide on how much money it should be. But I think that there should be a mechanism in there that calls for an annual increase that keeps up with, you know, the rate of inflation.
Yeah.
Because this is our money, right? Like, well, this is our money through sales tax and income tax that we're sending to New York State.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned the affordability, you mentioned property taxes. You know, the city of Auburn certainly isn't immune to any of the housing affordability issues that we've seen. And we've seen some headlines over the last month, sure, month and a half about that. The state, it seems to be mixed in terms of response to the budget and how housing affordability is really being addressed. What did you see? What do you see? And how do you feel like Auburn is doing now, looking ahead, in terms of the affordability issue on the housing side?
Yeah, so that is a problem here in Auburn and Cuyahoga County, just like it is across the state, maybe not to the level it is in like Westchester County or something like that. But sure, we have seen property values increase drastically. I look at the property transfers in the Citizen every week, and it is mind-boggling how high property values have gone. You know, we've been very proactive in trying to address that issue. And it was kind of tied into Micron announcing that they were coming. You know, former chair of the county legislature, Dave Gould, formed four committees. One of them is on housing, and we've been working with the county collaboratively on that. We're getting close to hopefully doing a housing study, again, to quantify where we are. It's hard to make decisions if you don't have the data. And there seems to be an appetite with the county and a lot of the towns in Cuyahoga County to do that, because believe it or not, these towns are struggling with it too. I know the village of Aurora, you know, great things are going on down there, but I also know that the property values are skyrocketing. And we have, you know, as human beings, not just as elected officials, but as human beings, I think we have an obligation to make sure that everybody has access to safe and affordable housing. So, you know, I feel we've been proactive in trying to get in front of it. We've applied for our pro housing designation with the state. Hopefully, I'm confident we will get that. And hopefully when we do, it will open up pots of funding to address this issue.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of funding that the city is seeking, the former Chemung Building downtown.
Yes.
A high profile spot in downtown, in terms of if you guys could get that rehabbed and back to full occupancy, that would make a big difference. What's in the pitch this time around, and what did you guys learn from the first attempt?
Yeah, so it's an interesting thing. You know, every city, large and small, deals with this problem with these former bank buildings. Gone are the days where banks need, you know, Chemung, I think it's 5 or 6 stories, right? No bank needs that type of office space anymore. So you see these empty bank buildings, and oftentimes they're these beautiful historic buildings. The owner of that building is based out of California, but they have a semi-local property manager who's based in Rochester. He is super accessible. I talk to him about once a month. They did apply for Restore New York last year, and they did not get it. That award went to another local developer here in Auburn. The state put a component in that application around where if you had a project that had received previous state funding, you got extra points because they're trying to close out projects across the state. And as we know, the cost of everything has increased. So unfortunately, 120 Genesee Street did not get the award, but we stayed in contact with them. And we said, listen, hopefully there'll be another round. You have our full support as a city. And yes, thankfully there was another round of Restore New York. They have submitted a plan again. They will be at council in the coming weeks to be part of the public hearing, because we have to have a public hearing as part of this process. They're applying for $2 million. I believe it would be 14 apartments in that building, which, what a gift that would be to downtown Auburn. We just talked about housing. There's a need for housing. I know from the other local developers here in town who have invested in rehabbing apartments in downtown that, you know, as soon as those apartments are done, they're occupied, there's a high demand for them. I was just at the Micron announcement yesterday, you know, to quote Chuck Schumer, Micron is coming, Micron is real, Micron is not going anywhere. It's going to affect us. And there are going to be people with good paying jobs looking for these types of apartments. We just had two brand new businesses open in downtown Auburn. So it's a great project. I feel that the developer would be a great partner. They haven't lost faith. They've answered the phone every time I've called, and I'm excited about this, and I'm hopeful that we can get them across the finish line with this funding.
Yeah, that's great news for sure. Another downtown development or project that's kind of been on and off, it seems, for the last few years, the Shine Theater. Any movement more recently in the last few months on that front?
Movement in the sense that I have been in contact with our partners at Empire State Development over in Syracuse, who have a direct connection to the developers of the Shine, the property owners of the Shine. Sure. And I am trying to get a meeting set up so that we can discuss what the plan is. You know, I know there's a lot of frustration with the Shine, and I'll be completely honest, that I share that frustration. Yeah. But the thing I always like to do is, you know, before I'm negative about something, I like to be positive if there's a positive. And, you know, when the developer bought the Shine originally, they were given $800,000 in funding through a federal program that we had a pot of money there that the federal government said either spend this or we're taking it back. And we awarded that funding to the developer. And he did exactly what he said he was going to do with that money. And he did all of the environmental remediation, which, whether people want to believe it or not, that is a huge bonus, because if something happened to that building, say, God forbid, there was a fire or something, and that environmental remediation was not done, I would guarantee you that the taxpayers of the city would end up being on the hook for that. So he did do that. Now, the next step, we need to know what that next step is. And I was very clear. I was on council at the time when the developer bought the building. And I said, you know, I want you to know what you're getting into here. There's a lot of emotional attachment to this building. It's in the center of our downtown. There's still a population of people in this city that remember going to see movies. My grandmother was one of them. You know, she tells me all the time she saw The Wizard of Oz at the Shine Theater. You know, so we need to know what the next steps are. And I'm hoping that the developer is serious about taking next steps. And we are in the process of trying to get that meeting set up.
Yeah, certainly a tremendous amount of upside with that property.
Sure.
Can you give us an update on the suit that the city has filed in partnership with another municipality over Owasco Lake, the water regs there? There's obviously been some tension, some frustration between the city and the state about how the state has handled this. Where do things stand right now that this has been going on for a few months?
Yes. So that lawsuit is the city of Auburn and the town of Owasco and the Owasco Watershed Lake Association. They joined that lawsuit as well. The initial hearing was held here in Cayuga County and about 2 weeks ago now, maybe 3 weeks ago. And the judge has decided to move the jurisdiction to Albany County. So we've regrouped and met with our attorneys through Earth Justice to see what the next steps are. I'm sure we'll be having a hearing scheduled in Albany County. You know, I feel bad that we're at this point. I never wanted to be at this point, but it was a necessary step.
Yeah.
You know, I just mentioned Micron, right? There's a lot of reasons why Micron's coming here. You know, Onondaga County, Ryan McMahon did a great job of making sure they had a shovel-ready site for a business of this magnitude. There's obviously been federal and state funding that has been attractive to Micron. But there's one reason that you can point to why Micron's coming here, and it's access to clean water.
Yeah.
And, you know, in this area, we have the world's largest concentration of clean water, and we have to get serious about protecting it. So the last thing we wanted to do was sue the state of New York, but you know, they have an obligation, and that obligation is making sure we have rules and regulations that allow us to protect that lake. The obligation is following federal law and, you know, granting us a total maximum daily load for Owasco Lake. You know, and as we look at the Finger Lakes as a whole, I would really like to see the federal government do something like they did in Chesapeake Bay and have a cleanup plan for the entire region, because every single lake in the Finger Lakes is dealing with this very issue. We just happened to be that canary in the coal mine where we were the first one. And, you know, I'm confident in Earth Justice's ability. They have blown me away with their advocacy. So I'm going to remain optimistic that we will have a positive outcome from this. But we're just waiting, you know, the next court date in Albany.
Sure. Absolutely. Mayor, thanks for the time. As always, we'll be talking to you next month.
All right, Josh, thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too.